Good morning, everybody. Go ahead and take a seat. Yeah, it was Michael and I were both sitting listening to the rain this morning going, oh man, it would be so nice just to sit here for a while, but it's a Sunday. And then as I was looking, I thought, you know, it's football starting, so maybe we're going to get a few to watch so they can get home and sit right at 1 o'clock. Maybe that's why we got a few, but thanks. All right. I'm going to say a word for you this morning. I want you to put that word in your head. And I want you to hold that, okay? So here comes the word. Put this picture in your mind. Sheep. Okay? Sheep. Hold that thought for just a minute. My first impression of sheep, if somebody asked me that, would be of my childhood. When I grew up in upstate New York, and we have these beautiful rolling hills. And on my drive to my grandparents' house every Sunday, we would, it was about 15 minutes, and in the drive, you know, we all have all these rolling hills. Well, we passed this one farmhouse. And there's a little house on one side of the road, and on the other is this old red barn. And behind the barn are these pastures, and then the rolling hills are all behind those pastures. And there are these sheep that are grazing. And I loved, as a child, to look for those sheep. I always look, and I'm always disappointed when the farmer doesn't have a sheep out. And it's just that thing I always thought of. It was very calming, very soothing to me. So that's what I think of when I think of sheep. But I have some PowerPoints. You may think of a few other things. So go ahead and start that PowerPoint. This is kind of the sheep just being out in the meadow. That's what I think of. But you guys may think of some other things. Go ahead with the next one. Some of you maybe have thought of just some baby sheep. Just little baby lambs. Maybe that was what you thought of. Okay? Maybe a single sheep. Maybe just one old sheep in your mind. Next. Maybe your thoughts just went to the fair. Maybe that's the only exposure you've had. Just seeing a sheep in the fair. There you go. Got the funny look. Okay, next. Or maybe you've been to Alaska and you think of the doll sheep, those wild sheep out there. And lastly, maybe you think of just Jesus holding a sheep. We always have those images in the Christian thing. So thank you. So those are some of those things that maybe you even thought of. But I want to ask, did any of you think of yourselves? Awesome, got one. That's what we're going to talk about. We are sheep. The Bible uses God using the analogy throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament as Him being the shepherd and we are being the sheep. It was there to describe the relationship from God to the people, the nation of Israel, and how He saw His people. There was this understanding back in the Bible times of what that really meant. You know, what was that relationship that the shepherd and the sheep had? But we don't have that relationship. We don't live that day to day. And in fact, in America, we don't have really shepherds. And as I was thinking of my childhood memories of seeing those sheep in the pasture every Sunday, not one time did I see that farmer out there with the sheep. They're always alone. Over the years, shepherds have been used less and less. They started using hired hands. And then they found they could just corral them. They could put them in the pastures, and they would leave them for days. And then when they needed to, they'd go and examine them, or they'd shear their wool, or they'd kill them if they needed for food. But this got me looking at the biblical relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. What is it that God is trying to say about that we in America kind of are missing out? I think in the 21st century, we don't understand that relationship. So over the next few times that I'm speaking, I really want to talk about this relationship about the shepherd and the sheep. Today, I want to just kind of give us a kind of an overview of what a sheep is, what the shepherd is, what the characteristics are. We're going to look at Psalm 23 primarily today. Next, I want to talk about God being our shepherd. What did He do as a shepherd? What was His purpose for him to be our shepherd. And Jesus, he was the shepherd in the New Testament. And let's talk about that. And then I want to talk about us. We have a role here. Our ministry are being shepherds. We have people are called to be shepherds. Well, what does that call really mean once we understand what the biblical reference of what a sheep and a shepherd really is? So that's kind of where I'm going to be going the next few times I talk. So let's talk a little bit about that image. Now, the image of the shepherd was very, very important in the Old Testament and in the Bible. Like I said, God refers to himself as a shepherd, and the nation of Israel is the sheep. It's his flock. Throughout the Old Testament, you see references of God talking about his love for the sheep. He talks about his anger for those who hurt his sheep. Jesus talks about himself being the shepherd and those who follow him and how they follow him. So these images had meaning, had great meaning for back then. They understood when God talked about it, they knew it. Because in the land of Judah back then, in Judah, where the Bible kind of mostly was laid out, the shepherds wandered that whole rough terrain. There's lots of wandering shepherds that knew every inch of that land for countless generations, and they understood that relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. The farmers and the sheep people today use a lot of sheepdogs. That's kind of what we think of, or we see movies about little sheepdogs and sheep. I know with my kids I do. And they use the dogs to herd them in. They gather them and use them for fear to kind of round them up and push them in the direction. But that's not the way God does it. God's thoughts were the shepherds of the Middle East who just called them, who just would come to them. So the Middle Eastern shepherd is a lot different than what we think of today's farmers and shepherds. Back then, they valued the sheep mostly for wool. They did eat them. But the Middle Eastern shepherd knew his sheep. He named his sheep. He cared for them for years. There was literally a relationship that developed between the shepherd and the sheep. This bond is really similar to what we have as a well-loved pet of a cat or a dog. They would come up every day and we'd love on them, and they want their love. They needed that time. Like our dogs need our time with us just to get pet and loved on and know that they're okay. That's the same way that relationship was with a shepherd and a sheep. So instead of using a dog to force these sheep where to go, all the shepherd had to do was call, just like we do. Come on. You know, you call your dog, and that dog is all happy. That's the same relationship that was established with the sheep. So why does God want us to be sheep? So we're going to examine that for a little bit. What are the characteristics that God wants us to have that are sheep-like? Because we're going to talk later, there are some characteristics that aren't so good, but there are some characteristics of sheep that are good that we need to think about. All right, but let's first examine what characteristics are not sheep-like. What does the world, the people who are not in the family, they're of the world. Let's look at those characteristics. Let me grab my water for a sec. We're going to open up to Daniel 7. So if anybody has their Bibles, we're going to look at Daniel 7 for just a moment. In this, Daniel has several visions, and it's of, and in this part, it's the same vision, similar, but he sees them as beasts. He sees them as animals. One of them's a lion, one's a bear, one's a leopard, and one's a terrifying beast. I'm going to start at Daniel 7, verse 2. And these are the kingdoms, the worldly kingdoms, that God relates, that Daniel sees. Daniel said in verse 2, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea, four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was the second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth with it, between its teeth. It was told, "Get up and eat your fill of flesh." After that I looked, and there before me was another beast. One looked like a leopard, and on its back had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and it devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. So we have 4 worldly kingdoms, and we have 4 different animals. The Bible also uses other things to describe those that are not of his family. Jesus said when he was sending his disciples out that they're like sheep among wolves. We also see when we represent Satan or evil rulers, they might be eagles with sharp claws and beaks. They could be dragons, serpents. These are animals that are all things that devour. They like control. They like power. They are not... They're cunning animals. They're not docile by any means. These things that Daniel represented, they all wanted conquest. That was on their mind. Power, conquest, thinking only of themselves, to be strong and domineering, able to defend themselves and their rights. The world likes people who are powerful, people who are strong, people who can control things. That's the way the world these days sees. And these, God uses animals that represents the world. But God does not admire these qualities in his family. He desires the qualities of sheep. So, let's go ahead.